Hi, welcome to the first podcast of The Kink. The Kink Show already has a podcast, like little snippets from the episodes that are just funny to watch, and it's like a video cast. It's not necessarily listening to, but this is proper listening to podcast, like radio style. This is the first one, and it's not professional at all. It's just by me, Andy Nolch, and I'm just going to be chatting for an hour, which is going to be a bit of a challenge, but I think, strangely enough, I'll be able to do it very easily. Give it a go. Just give it at least one podcast. At least listen to one of them. This first one, at least listen to just one. The podcast channel thing gets lots of clicking on twos, but I think because there was no actual proper half an hour or hour long podcast, no one was listening to it because it was just little 2-minute snippets taken from the TV show. Anyway, so basically this is the first one, and it's completely not going to be professional at all. It's very casual. It's just easy listening. I'm just going to, just nothing is scripted, nothing. Because the deal with The Kink is that the show is, sort of like scripted, and it's, basically professional, and I want the show to be to get it as successful as it can get. But this podcast is just completely unprofessional, and just the thing with The Kink is you can't just do what you feel like. Like, even though it's really cool to put in some funny videos or to say a joke that you feel like, it's still sort of scripted. But once this is pressed recording on this podcast, this is totally just me. Nut, like just doing exactly how I feel. Like, I was actually inspired a little bit by Damien Power, how he just like pressed record and was just like, if he felt lame, then he was talking lame. You know what I mean? He said exactly the way he feels. He also said things that were just pretty out there and just did not, he was just being himself. So this is totally me being myself. The only thing about it is, though, that I might have to censor some of the things I'm talking about, because some of the stuff I know about is pretty high up and pretty out there, and I might censor where I got my information from, and just, I can't just be totally free with what I'm saying, but I'll try and be as honest as possible, basically because I don't want to say where I got my information from in case it causes any problems, because also, like, some of it can be confidential. But also I don't want to say everything that I know because it's too much for people to hear. It's too out there. You know what I mean? There has to be a bit of censorship. You know what I mean? One day hopefully you can all find out everything. But the thing is, do you know how, like, there's that movie, with Jack Nicholson where he goes, "You can't handle the truth." Well, that's true. That is literally true. The people that are here on Earth, they can't handle the truth. They can't. I mean, it's a lesson that it's taken me a long time to learn, that you can't just go and tell people the truth because they literally flip out. You know, and the first thing I'm going to bring up here is something like global warming. Don't get pissed off when I say this, but the evidence seems to suggest that it is a complete scam, okay? So, for example, so just keep on listening. Don't get pissed off and say, oh, this guy's a wacky, some guy that's obsessed with oil Texan or some shit that wants to make money and is, just give me a chance to listen to some of the arguments, okay? That's an example of where you can't handle the truth. Like, as in, if I just come out, and I know this because I've learned from things on Facebook and talking to people about it, you can't just come out and say, it's a con job, it's a scam, you know what I mean? You have to say it in a polite, you have to be polite, you have to water it down, you have to say it on a gradient, and then suddenly people start going, oh, maybe there's something to this, this global warming being a scam thing, because it's just, there's so much information saying that global warming is happening. There's so many people on the bandwagon of it that if you just come out and say it, suddenly people will defriend you on Facebook, and people will attack you and that sort of stuff. But now, speaking of global warming, so you say the gradient thing. But speaking of global warming, this is what's a good thing about it, is that we're starting to get to that point where literally, I mean, it's just growing more and more people who are just finding out that it's a con job. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, we're in the future now. It's 2015. Okay. Anyway, so I'll go on with global warming, but before that, I just want to give an introduction. So people who are listening, introduction to me, who I am. So I'm Andy Nolch, the host of the Kink TV show. I do a little bit of stand-up comedy on the side, but I mainly spend more into the acting and the film side of and making the kink and being part of that. I'm 26 years old, I'm a little bit short. I'm sort of like a normal, pretty normal white guy. Just if you haven't seen me in that, you can look up the kink videos, and then you can see what I look like. But you know, because you know, sometimes people hear someone talk. If you can't put a face to it, it's not the same. You want to put a face to it. Anyway, so I got like light brownish hair, normal looking white guy, pretty normal Australian looking, I'd say. And I'm not skinny, I'm not fat, I'm just normal. Mr. Average right here. The only thing I'd say that I'm not average about is I reckon my height's a bit below average. Cause I'm only about 5'8", and that's pretty normal height. Lots of people have that height, but it's still a bit short. If you're 5'10", 5'11", you are so normal. If I was 5'10", 5'11", I would be so normal. Anyway, sorry, I'm drinking a cup of tea at the same time. All right, so that's me. I'm from Melbourne, Australia. A pretty normal suburban sort of city, a city that's got like 4 million people or something like that. So not one of these mega cities like London or New York or LA or Beijing, but not a really small city like Austin, Texas. It's just a nice, normal sized, pretty good city. It's been voted the world's most livable city for about so many times, it's not funny. So it's awesome here. To give you an idea about Australia, if not from Australia, it's a country that's ages away from everything else. So it doesn't have all the conflict like all the other countries have. And it's really has the smallest population that you can think. Like, it's got a tiny population for how large it is. So it's all spread out, so not everyone's jammed in together, so you don't have that conflict as well, you know what I mean? And the fact that it's a fairly new country, only been like around for like 200 years or something, I think, because it doesn't have that long-term, deep-seated, you know, history and heritage and culture, you don't have as much conflict happening as much. But mainly I think it's just the fact that people come here, it's called the lucky country, because it's just like this sort of, it is a bit like this paradise. It's far away from all the other crap that goes on in the world. And you come here and it's like a peaceful retirement village. You know what I mean? Like those retirement villages that they build that are like all little nice little houses with the gated community. It's safe. And it's like that. It's not as exciting as other places, but Melbourne, I would reckon, is the most exciting place in this whole part of the world, like Australia and New Zealand, that area. I reckon it's the most exciting place. So things are going pretty good in Australia and that. And this is completely just where I'm going. So I was going on about global warming, and I want to say a bit more about myself. So I was brought up in a family with me and three other kids. Parents got divorced when I was like 8 and that sort of stuff, and we lived in like a normal house and that sort of stuff. So it was a really pretty normal upbringing.
Normal sort of, but like, I guess there's lots of people who would say, oh, I had a normal family upbringing sort of as well. So it's normal to have a sort of normal family upbringing, but it wasn't like perfect normal like Neighbours TV show sort of thing. I've been working on the kink in that for a year now, and before that I was doing my religion, Scientology. So what you do in Scientology, you do courses. So before I started working on the kink. I was doing Scientology quite a lot because I was doing a course that required you to come in a lot, and I wanted to get it done so I could do things like work on the kink and all that. And hold on, I just got to check the time. So I'm pretty sure I've been – I'm trying to work out how long – okay, wow, okay, it says perfect. So I've been going for 10 minutes now. All right. So – oh, my God, okay, so the Scientology thing. Okay, so I got into that in about 2010, and my family wasn't into anything. I got into it, and so you do courses and that. So I was doing courses on that, and at the moment I go in maybe one day a week. I'm going in tomorrow. Oh, I'll tell you what's going on right now. It is – late on a Saturday night, and I was thinking of going out earlier in the day, but I had this hard day at work. I'm a handyman for a day job, and it was raining, so I was walking on roofs and that, and because it was raining, it made it just so much harder and slower and such a slug. Like, it would have been a great day if it was a dry day, but because it's winter time right now, so the date was like late August, 2015, so that's winter time in Australia, and just to let you know, in Melbourne, winter isn't like snow or anything, it's just kind of like cold with a bit of rain, and you just need a jacket and stuff. It's nothing too bad, but yeah, so it's been raining a lot regularly, so it's like I didn't want to delay it, you know what I mean? I've got deadlines to meet and all that sort of stuff, and I'm pretty busy, so it's like, and I wanted the money for the job, so I was just like, I'm going to do this job, you know, even though it's raining and that, it's hard walking on roofs, I'm just going to do it. I did have one moment today where I almost slipped and, I could have hurt myself. Yeah, I was on the ladder, right? This is really unusual because when it's raining, you're worried about slipping off the roof or stepping on a ladder and slipping, but this was different. This was the ladder slipping, right? And also the ladder wasn't, you're worried about a ladder slipping when it's on a dodgy angle, you know, when it's not on a proper standard sort of leaning, but this time the ladder was leaning totally normal, and I was just cleaning, a gutter and working on it or something, and I don't know how it happened, but the decking that the ladder feet were on was really slippery. It was like you had to have a ladder in exactly like a certain way, any little bit off, and it would slip, so you know, I didn't really know how slippery it was or whatever. So the ladder just slipped out randomly, and then suddenly I was just like this, grabbing onto the gutter, and but I wasn't like hanging, just grabbing onto the gutter. The ladder was still on the gutter, but I was grabbing onto the gutter, stopping the ladder from slipping off the gutter. Because if the ladder slipped off, then I'd be pretty screwed. Because then I'd just be hanging onto the gutter, but I wouldn't let myself hang onto it. I'd probably let go because it was really close to the ground, but I just would have had a really awkward landing, and maybe I could have twisted my ankle or something like that. But my initial thought was, oh, when I slipped, I was like, ah, like don't, like, I didn't want to like rip the gutter off, or like I didn't want the ladder to fall and then smash and like dent in the decking and stuff. So that was like the concern. It was not so much my safety. It was more like, ah. And anyway, it was a bit by surprise, but I was kind of calm. And so then I think I was holding onto the gutter, and then I was like, I realized I had to, I'm a bit of an acrobat in these sort of situations and that. Anyway, like I'm sure other people, like especially like some, you know, wussy people would be like, watch out, oh, you're right. Anyway, but I was like pretty calm in that, and I was just like, the ladder slipped out. No, so I was just holding the ladder in there against the gutter in my hand, and then I was like, you know, but the gutters are quite strong. That's something you can remember as well. Like, if you are on a roof and you slip off, I always kind of had the thought that if you grabbed onto the gutter, the whole gutter would rip off, and it might, but there's still a good chance, as long as you're not really, really fat, there's still a good chance that if you grab and hold onto the gutter, they've got a fair few nails put into them and stuff and screws and that, and you could just hang and hold onto the gutter and not, and like it could, you know, almost save your life. But, you know, obviously don't count on it. So I'm trying to think what happened, but I think I was in that position where I was like, okay, so I obviously have to, this ladder, I'm stuck. I can't really move much. I'm not going to walk onto the roof because the roof's slippery anyway. Like I have to just kick the ladder out from the bottom and then just land on my feet and don't land on the ladder. So I don't know how I did this. You know, it's one of these things where you just do it. So I was like, okay, so obviously at this point I have to, I'm holding to the gutter. I have to just push the ladder, let the ladder slip out now, and then just land on my feet. And so then I just, and see, this is funny because I'm thinking, oh, well, wouldn't I be concerned about me landing on the ladder and then twisting my ankle on the ladder, on the decking below me? But I don't know what happened, but I was just like that. And then I let the ladder fall to the ground. I had to let it fall to the ground, but at least it didn't have a huge fall, so it wouldn't necessarily dent the decking, but I had to let it fall to the ground, and then I had to just land on the ground, and I did, and it was like, it was super, super easy. There was no problems at all. Like, I didn't have any problems about where my feet were going to land, if it was going to hit the metal of the ladder on the ground, lying on the ground, or anything, or like, if I would, yeah, I don't know. It just happens, you know, and I didn't even have any concern. When I was hanging on the ladder, I wasn't like, oh no, how am I going to make this ladder fall and me land correctly so I don't twist an ankle? It was just fine. I was just like, oh, okay, I've got to let the ladder fall and then I just got to land on the ground or something. Maybe I kicked the ladder to the side. Like, maybe I was like, got to let the ladder fall, push it to the right, and I'll push to the left and I'll land in a free space of the decking. And I won't hurt myself. Anyway, a bit of random information because I'm just talking anything. I'm recording this on GarageBand, and they have a little podcast thing where you can just click on it and it's just all set up for you, and it's just awesome. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Mac. I think they're pretty awesome. I got my Mac, the microphone being used as the Mac, those standard ones that come with your iPod, you know those ones? They're pretty damn good. I bought $200 headphones because I wanted to get really good ones because I wanted to hear people clearly in that. And they were worse. And I paid $200 for them, right? They had little rubber knobs on the end of them. So when you poke them into your ear, they block out sound. So that was better, okay? But after a few minutes, they'll pop out. And so they'll be really annoying because they'd push them back into your ear again and they'll pop out. And that was just annoying. But at least for those few minutes, you could hear clearer. But people who you would talk to when you're using that on your phone, they reckon that they didn't notice any difference between the sound, and sometimes it would be worse. So it was just like, I spent $200 on these. I thought that would hear my voice crisp and clear and never cut out and that sort of stuff, but it didn't really do that. So it's just like these standard iPod, Mac, whatever headphones, just those standard white ones, they're pretty damn good. And that's why Mac is just so popular, because they make good products, you know. Anyway, so somehow we got onto a bit of the global warming stuff, because you're probably still thinking, oh, this guy's some crazy nut job who doesn't believe in global warming and that, and I just didn't get a chance to explain myself. Well, like I said, you got to tell people things on a gradient, so, you know, and you got to, you know, ease into it, like I was saying, they can't handle the truth. So basically, I'm being judgmental, and I'm predicting what you'll be like, and I'm going to treat you like one of the people that can't handle the truth. Yeah, how's that for stereotyping you? How do you feel about that, huh? Just blatantly stereotyping you. By the way, I'm one of the people who can handle the truth. Like, not meaning to sound, I know it sounds totally cocky, but it's true. I can handle the truth. Like, I used to believe in global warming, then I changed my mind. I used to believe in, do you want me to roll off all the things? I'll just piss you off so much. I could potentially piss off people so much. I used to believe in other political things, and then I realized blah, blah, blah. But the problem with a lot of people is they can't change their mind about things. It's like they're set on global warming's happening. That's it. You know what I mean? And they're set on, you know, you need to give people who are poor government benefits to help them. You need to give them a dole, you know. That's how it is, you know. The refugees need to look after them. That's how it is, you know. And they're locked in those certain ways. Like, and some people, you know, obviously, you know, like the Bible and that sort of stuff. Some people like, you know, this is the truth, you know, 100%. This is, you know, I was talking to like, oh, all right, I'm just going to go on to everything then. I'll handle it. Don't worry, I'll handle the global warming thing. I was talking to a Christian guy once, you know, and I was saying how I had a Scientology cross on, and I said, well, to me, it also as it, because the Scientology cross looks a little bit similar to the Christian cross. And I said, well, to me, it also means a bit, it also is a bit, even though it's not officially, but to me, it's a bit of Christianity as well, because I like Jesus, and I think he was an awesome guy, and there's stuff to learn from the Bible and that. And he was like, oh, really, you know, and stuff, and was asking me questions about my belief and that sort of stuff. And he couldn't handle the idea that I had, which was that there's some useful information in the Bible and I like it, and there's some useful information in Buddhism and I like it, and there's useful information in Scientology and I like it. And I think there's useful information in lots of things. But he was kind of like, no, the Bible is the truth, is it 100%, you know what I mean? And so even though I was talking to him and I wasn't bagging his religion or anything, and I was saying Jesus is good in that, but the fact that I wasn't totally, you can tell he was trying to recommend me to read the Bible more, and he didn't like my attitude towards how I was reading the Bible, as in I was reading it as in a form of education to increase my knowledge and to find out the truth about everything, basically, and just to learn, whereas he wanted me to sort of read it as in read it from the viewpoint of this Bible is it. Why would you bother doing Scientology? You know what I mean? The Bible is it, you know? So it's just an interesting attitude that they have. It's like some point, I don't know, when they picked up the Bible or whatever, or they grew up on the Christians, some of these, I'll call them a fundamentalist Christian. They grow up on it, and then it's just very interesting that they just totally, it's just like, this is it. And it's just like, I was never like that, because I remember as a little kid going to Sunday school at church and that, and I was always like questioning things and not totally able to believe that this is it. Because I remember the guy was saying, he was going, you know, Jesus died for your sins. And he was just saying that this whole thing that Jesus did where he died for our sins or whatever, that's it. Why, you don't have to do anything else. You know, I mean, you're saved because of that and stuff. And it was kind of interesting, you know, viewpoint and kind of interesting attitude to have. But yeah, I could just read the Bible, and I couldn't, personally, I just can't, I can't dismiss all the other religions, basically. You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah. Anyway, I wasted a bit of time talking to him because, as you know, how you can sometimes open up a can of worms, especially if you're a Scientologist, because people it's not as popular as the other religions, so people are very interested about it, you know, and they've heard some wacky things on the internet. So you can just open up a can of worms if you start talking about religion. You can just like, doesn't have to be like any controversial stuff, but it's just like you can just open up discussions, and it's just, you just end up having a boring time, and especially when it comes to someone who's a fundamentalist Christian, you know that there's just no point in it, because at the end of the day, they just got that same thing that Jesus died for our sins. The Bible is like 100% the truth. That's the bee's knees, and so there's no point in anything else. You know what I mean? So it's just like you can talk to them all day, and you can say how you do a course in Scientology and it improves you in your IQ or something like that, and then it's just like, and it's just, you just end up wasting your time after you have your 20-minute chat with them, and you just like, you kind of just like, wow, you really get an idea for how stubborn that person is. And then you think of yourself and you go, oh, well, I'm kind of stubborn, aren't I, as well? You know what I mean? I'm just as stubborn in having my other beliefs of not believing that the Bible is everything, you know? Isn't that interesting? What are you supposed to do with that? You know what I mean? Like, I'm just as stubborn as him, if not more stubborn. Because, like, there's no way, no matter how much verses of the Bible you could read me and how much stuff you could read me Jesus said, there's no way I could totally just believe it like the way he did. I just couldn't do that. I'll just be like, I know that a bit of Buddhism, a bit of Scientology is good, and I've heard some interesting information about aliens on the internet and stuff. And so, like, I just couldn't have that sort of attitude that this dude had. And it's just like, I think the only way you can have attitude that this guy has is firstly, you have to believe things easily. Like, because obviously when I first came across the Bible and I was questioning it as a six-year-old kid or whatever, but you have to believe things easily, and then you have to not have come across this other information that I'm talking about from other sources. So if you just got brought up in the average suburbs and that, you came across the Bible as a kid in that in Sunday school or whatever, and then you get that information and you start believing it, and then any information about aliens or other religions or psychic phenomena and just other things that science, for example, evolution or whatever, you come across other things, right? And you just have to not come across those other things. So you have to just go to Sunday school, learn the Bible, blah, 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 and then just never really study anything else. And then you come across, as a 45-year-old man, you come across a guy like Andy who tells you this interesting information about other things, and you're like, what are you talking about? There's only the Bible, and there's only, what Jesus said, and he died for our sins, and that's it. And then it's just like, well, yeah, I'm sure that is true for you, because you haven't seen anything or read any of the things that I've seen. But if you've read and seen the things that I've seen, then you would, I don't think you would be able to, believe that. You know what I mean? That's why I can't believe it, because of the other stuff that I've seen. I can't just believe that. I mean, let's just not, the first thing I'm going to say about the Bible firstly, it's been translated. So it's just like, it wasn't actually written by Jesus himself, and it's like a rumor. It's been spread word from word, and it's been translated into different languages. And so it can have so many mistakes in it. It can have so many misinterpretations in it. I personally think it's so far from what Jesus was actually on about. You know what I mean? So that's where it's like, personally, deep down, I know this guy who calls himself a fundamentalist Christian, I think that I'm more on par with Jesus than he'll ever be. I think that I'm more in connection with Jesus than he'll ever be. I think I'm more like Jesus than he'll ever be. But he's more like this book that's been changed and transformed and taken away from what it was supposed to be in the start. One thing, for example, apparently the Bible used to have reincarnation in it, and they just took it out. Some people who, for whatever reason, because it served them, some whatever priests or whatever, because it served their purposes, just took it out of the Bible. I mean, how interesting is that? But I mean, I'm not saying that's 100% the truth, but that could very well be the truth, So that's so interesting. Anyway, so what I was saying is, this guy, right, this 45-year-old guy I'm talking about, this Christian, so he could say, okay, Andy, right, I'll look at these other information sources and that sort of stuff, but he wouldn't, because I'm talking about how people are stubborn, right? So, like, they don't change their mind. So he would be looking at it, and you'd listen to my ideas, but he would still have this thought, he'd still have this idea in the back of his head that, the Bible is it, it's the bee's knees. So he wouldn't really be looking at the information about the UFOs. Do you know what I mean? He wouldn't really be looking at the information in Buddhism. He wouldn't really be looking at these other strange phenomenons that occur in life and that. It would just be like, he wouldn't really be investigating. He can't be a scientist. He doesn't have the ability to be a scientist. You know what I mean? Where you actually assess things independently and come to conclusions and that. Yeah, I bet you could come up with a psychological test, because I remember I did one on the internet, one of those silly ones on Facebook, and they said that it came up that said that I have the ability to be a scientist. And I was like, yeah, I do. I can investigate things. But he can't be unbiased. That's what I'm basically saying. He can't be unbiased. Anyway, and I've come across other religious people who are similar. Again, yeah, they can't be. That they're usually quite, they're sort of biased towards, their opinion, And so, like, when it came to all this global warming and, should guns be banned and all that sort of stuff, even though I did years ago believe that global warming was happening, I wasn't like, bee's knees, 100% global warming is definitely happening, and I wasn't completely biased towards it. I was like, shit, it really looks like this is happening. The evidence is really indicating, everyone's saying it's happening, like it feels warmer. I'm talking about in like 2008 and stuff. But I was able to change my mind after that. Do you know what I mean? like, even though I, because I never, like, you know, whereas this guy here, he was the Christian guy, it's just like, he's like, Jesus died for our sins, it's blah, 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 and that's it. Like, he totally believes it. Like, firstly, I don't have the ability to totally believe things like the way he has the ability to just totally believe things. Right, like I said in Sunday school or whatever, I wouldn't just totally believe, I would already be questioning it straight away. But I'm one of these people who are just smart asses that just question everything and don't believe in anything. And they're just being like argumentative, stubborn pricks or whatever. Not one of them. Obviously I was a bit of a smart ass, but as a little kid, because I'd muck around a bit in that. But so we're halfway through the podcast now. Just an update. Exciting. It's like I was saying, how this podcast is all this improvised and that. It's not going to have some fancy song intro and all that sort of stuff. Look, I've listened to a lot of radio and that, and I could make a cool radio show. I could make a cool kink radio show, but nah, because I'm interested in the kink TV show and that. And this is just a casual podcast and that. So it's not going to have fun intros and all that sort of stuff. It's going to be very unedited, just whatever I feel like. I was saying I still can't quite fathom these people, how they can be like this, how they can just believe things so firmly in that. Like, I believe that Scientology is a really great religion, LRH is really awesome in that, and I really believe in it like 100%, and I want to help people with it, and I want people to try it out and do it, you know? So I believe that 100%, do you know what I mean? But it's a bit different to the Bible, you know? Like, it's just like... And still, if someone came to me and said, here's a better religion, try this out, I would be a little bit like, oh, really? Oh, maybe. Well, what's this? Oh, okay, you recommend it, do you? Oh, okay. See how that attitude is completely different to the Christian guy? I'm 100% a Scientologist. I really am, okay? And he's 100% a follower of the Bible, okay? But you hand something to him suggesting try something else, and he'll just, or check this out, and he'll just be like, no. And you hand something to me, even though I believe in 100%, and say, this is better. Hand this to me and go, try this new religion, this is better. And I'll be like, oh, okay. All right. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, I'm willing to actually, see, I can be scientific, and I can be like, oh, let's investigate this religion, and let's see if it is better or whatever, you know? Whereas he can't do that. I mean, I just think, to me, it's just so bizarre. You know what I mean? It's like he's just like, it's robotic in a way. It's because, like, this is definitely my religion. Him, it's definitely his religion. But it's definitely his religion. That is it. He is totally brainwashed by it. I mean, I'm sorry to bag... saying the guy's nice, like he prints I don't want to mention any names or anything, just in case, or maybe in, see, this is what I'm saying, I have to censor some shit anyway. Basically, he's a good guy, right? He's good and that, and I like him and stuff, but he that's it. It's literally, I don't want to bag anyone else's religion or anything. That's the thing. That's part of the Scientology religion, is also you respect other people's religions. And that's something I did anyway, because it's just Scientology is just common sense. Anyway, so, I mean, you obviously want to respect people's religion. I don't want to bag anyone who's Christian who's listening, you know. But it's just like, this guy is just like, whoa, talk about, like, you can't even look it into any other religion. It's like, the Bible is it, you know. I just find that really interesting. It's just such an amazing way to be. It's like, it literally is as if they've read the book and they've become brainwashed by it, and that's it, you know? Anyway, so, well, that moves into the global warming thing, because I'm saying how people are very stubborn. So they've come across the information about global warming happening, and that's it. Just the same as the Bible, as this guy came across the Bible as a kid, that's it. Global warming, they've come across the information, that's it. And they're stuck. And I come across and say, you know, maybe it's a con job or whatever. And then they just go, whoa, we can't handle the truth. You know, that's it. Whoa. And they can't handle it. You know what I mean? Like they can't look at anything else. They go, I believe in 100%. You know what I mean? It's just so interesting. People, I just find people and the way they behave is just so interesting. But literally, the Bible, this fundamentalist Christian guy I'm talking about is exactly similar to the person who believes in passionately in global warming. It's the exact similar thing. They've both come across some information, seen how it's good, yeah, because there was some sort of truthful things about the global warming information and that, and seems like it was happening, and the Christian guy came right across the Bible, saw some information, saw it was good, saw how it helping, and then boom, bam, I believe it's happening, I believe the Bible, nothing else is changing, bam, that's it. And someone comes along and tells them the truth, and they can't handle the truth. And so, yeah, like my trashy American accent. So it's just so interesting, you know, they just, whereas I was like, okay, wow, look at this. I'm very scientific. I'm like, I'm gathering the evidence. Like, oh, look, you know, oh, it does seem to be hotter here. No, it seems to be dead there. Oh, it seems to be, what looks like it's happening, doesn't it? It seems like maybe we should start doing this. I think we should start doing this to solve the problem. Because I believe that global warming is happening, you know. I'm not going to say 100% believed it. But, yeah, I believed it happening. And then I started seeing some information that was different, you know, from people who seemed trustworthy and nice and that, because I've got to handle why I don't believe in global warming, because people might get upset about it. So I'm trying to think of how it came to be that I found out it was a con job, or seemed to be a con job. And I think one of the first things I saw in it was the fact that the solution that they were pushing to global warming, that was the first thing I questioned. It wasn't so much whether or not it was happening. It was like, hold on. Regardless of whether or not global warming is happening, I disagree with what they're wanting to do to handle global warming. And I was thinking, what the hell? We send a man to the moon. There's all this amazing technology. There's all this amazing physics. There's all this sort of stuff. Yet why can't they invent a machine that you just stick somewhere and it sucks up carbon dioxide and it pumps out oxygen, and this whole thing that carbon dioxide, more of it, makes the world hot? Well, let's just reduce the amount of carbon dioxide, and then we can burn as much cars as we want. We can blow everything up. Just joking. Anyway, you can blow everything up, and nothing will get hot. We can basically control the temperature on the Earth like a heater. You know what I mean? That's what I was thinking. Why are they putting all this effort into stopping on taxing us and just stopping all our cars and that, all this system that we use and just all this more that we're used to, when all they can, what they probably should be doing is investing all their money in just inventing a super carbon dioxide sucking machine. You know what I mean? It's just like that to me was the first thing I thought of as a solution to it. And I was just like, why, at least why isn't anyone talking about it? At least why isn't anyone saying, oh, it's we can't invent it. It's too hard to invent. It's just impossible, you know? So that made me just think, like, you know, what's this deal with the tax thing? And then what I looked at, as I looked at the tax, right, and I saw how in some places when they put a tax on carbon, right, I thought it was just, it reduced, not only did it just reduce the amount of carbon that we're putting out by nowhere near that was, by nowhere near enough that was necessary to handle global warming, right? It was just like, it reduced the carbon dioxide by like a little bit. So it like delayed global warming by like a little bit. It's like, really, is it really worth fucking everything up, stuffing everyone over just to delay global warming by a little bit? It's just like, screw it. And then the second reason was also, what's wrong with getting warm? You know what I mean? Like, I can say so many things about global warming, right? I can say all these arguments for, like, let's say global warming is happening. I can say all these arguments for why we shouldn't do anything about it, right? And then let's say global warming is not happening, and I know it's not happening, but anyway, so let's say global warming is not happening, right? By the way, I'm not 100% sure it's not happening, like 90% sure. Anyway, so let's say global warming is not happening, and I can say all these reasons backing up why it's not happening. But anyway, let's say it is happening. So what happens then? I mean, places in Canada and Alaska and all these really cold places, they get life.
they get trees growing there, they get animals growing there, they get plants growing there because they're going to be warmer. You know? Like, what's wrong with that? But then in the media, they send all this propaganda saying it's going to cause all these storms, and then all the areas that aren't cold at the moment, they turn into these crazy barren deserts. And then I saw some information saying that it will turn it into, like, that doesn't turn into deserts, and it causes more tropical rain and all this sort of stuff. And it's just like rain's good. It's just more green stuff. It just makes the world greener. You know what I mean? I mean, at the moment, you could argue the whole world's too cold, you know. But yeah, there's lots of people in Canada who are like, hell yeah, we want global warming, you know. Anyway, and then I think personally, so that was another reason, you know, why. But I can just keep on going on about reasons. But yeah, so then I saw some speeches by guys who just seem like genuine, honest people who were saying that the scientists who were releasing these studies and stuff and saying that global warming's happening are basically doing fraud. Like, literally, they're wanting to get money to do these grants to have this scientist job, and they just release false information saying that it's hotter than what it really is. And, like, I'll give you an example. Like, Al Gore was saying that, you know, in 2006, he was saying that the world would be flooded and crazy in 2015. Well, we're in 2015 now. There's nothing wrong. And apparently, there's a whole documentary you can watch that proves all of Al Gore's points wrong, like, scientifically, why it's just bullshit, you know? And he got sued over that movie he made. What was that movie called? Al Gore's movie called An Inconvenient Truth or something. And then you hear that Al Gore is just a complete con man, and he was setting up all this carbon trading schemes, and he was just making money off it. He was just pushing. And then you hear all these people who make money off wind farms and solar panels. Of course they're all going to be pushing that global warming's happening, you know. Anyway, and so I kind of found out at the same time how just because someone says they're a scientist and it's scientific doesn't mean it's scientific at all. You can just cherry pick data and make something that looks like it's scientific, but it's just not. And a lot of that sort of stuff was going on, you know, and people were ignoring information saying the carbon dioxide is not happening. Another real reason why that really convinced me that it wasn't happening was the fact that, let's say, compared to 50 years ago, you got, you know, Thailand, Indonesia, India, and China, and all the Western countries are pumping out so much more CO2 than what they were in the 50s. So many more airplanes, so many more trucks, so many more cars, so many more people breathing it out, so many more cows farting out their methane gas, right? So if everyone is pumping out all this more CO2, right, it should just be getting hotter and hotter and hotter every year, a lot more. So basically, if they say in 1991 that the temperature is 2 degrees above average, or let's say in 1991 the temperature is 1 degree above average, well, in 2014 the stats should say that it's 3 degrees above average, and it should just keep on be exponentially growing to be more and more above the, you know what I mean? It's just basic scientific facts. If you've got this greenhouse effect and you put out more CO2 in this greenhouse, it should just get hotter and hotter. And then on a daily basis, if you're putting out even more CO2 on a daily basis, even more cars are pumping it out, then it should get even more hotter. But then you look at the stats and it's like, yeah, we had some above average temperatures in the 90s, and definitely in Australia, or in Melbourne, I definitely noticed some very above average temperatures in the 2000s. But then suddenly we had some below average temperatures. And it was just like, what? This isn't right. You know what I mean? It should be getting hotter. It not only should it be getting hotter, right? It should be getting hotter by a lot more because so many more cars are driving. But this is where I found out the theory that CO2, more CO2 leads to more heat, is not true. It's just a complete lie. So interesting, you know what I mean? It's just a con. It's a whole. There's a lot to it, but basically, there's a lot of corrupt people in this world that want to make money and want to reduce population, that sort of stuff. And anyway, so you can get into like little arguments and that with average Joes who just can't even think to confront any of this new information, and they're like the fundamentalist Christians where they just like they've heard the global warming is happening and that's it. You know what I mean? There's nothing else that's going on.
And anyway, speaking of global warming, so yeah, I did notice some above average temperatures, and I was quite concerned, especially in 2009 in Melbourne, where it had we had some temperatures that were just like crazy. We had like a heat wave that was just the hottest I've ever experienced, and it was like it was like 5 days in a row of 45 degrees, and that was just amazing. Like the air conditioners didn't work, and we didn't have that before. You know, this is in Israel; we don't get those sort of temperatures here. But then, you know, I spoke to my grandpa and he said in the 40s that they had one summer day where it was like 45 degrees or something. And I don't know if they said one summer day or if they had said three, but we were talking about something. They mentioned how, yeah, we had a 45 degree day in one day or something. And I was like, something clicked in my head, like, oh, 43 degree day in, you know, 1941. Like, gosh, isn't that interesting? You know what I mean? I thought this was like a first that we ever got to 45 degrees and it was completely unheard of. In Melbourne, you know what I mean? And it was just like, oh, so there are some hot temperatures in the past, you know what I mean? And then you look at the stats by some of these good people who are trying to fight the global warmers, that are like trying to give people the truth, and it's just like, yeah, temperatures go up and down, and sometimes you have below average and sometimes you have above average, and the temperature's always changing on the Earth. And that's why in recent years they've changed it to climate change instead of saying global warming. They switched. Al Gore in the 2000s was pumping global warming, there was no tomorrow. And then in 2010, England freezed over and America's had a few years of below average winters and stuff, temperatures, and suddenly it's just climate change now. And so that anything that indicates that the climate's changing is global is because of CO2. And they imply that eventually it will lead to global warming, but just temporarily it will get a bit colder. Which is another strange thing, is that if the whole world's getting hotter, how can it temporarily get a bit colder? You know what I mean? If you're in a house, you crank the heater on. You know what I mean? Like, we're cranking the heater on by pumping out more CO2, apparently. It should always only get hotter. You know? There should never be any record low temperatures. And the fact that there were some record low temperatures is just like, whoa, what's going on? You know, if we had some anyway, it's just a bit, it's similar to the vaccine debate in that, like, you see the evidence in your environment and it doesn't match up what these so-called scientists are saying or what they say on the news. It just doesn't match up. Like, for me in Melbourne, it's just like, okay, no sign of heating. Since I've been alive, besides some above average temperatures in the 2000s, I definitely reckon there was a period of about 6 years where it was warmer than average. Totally, we had fairly dry summers and it was quite hot. And besides that stretch, which can totally be a natural part of the climate, and that there's no. I don't see any warming happening. I don't know what you're talking about. It's winter right now in Melbourne, and this winter that we've just gone through. Seemed like it was below average, and it was just like, it was totally, I put heaters in for a job, you know, and the amount of heaters you're putting in isn't getting less, you know. It's not like the air conditioning industry is booming, you know, where there's no evidence for it, you know what I mean? But on the news, they say, oh, it's happening, and they go, the IPCC on the radio, you listen to like a radio station like Triple J, who just always has very like socialistic opinions about things and that, and they'll be like, you know, always, you know, look after, every time there's always a thing about the refugees and stuff, you know. I'm not saying bag refugees or anything, you know, there's always stuff about refugees or global warming, you know, or like, you know, picking on the right wingers always anyway. And and it's a very influential radio station because it gives people ideas and that, you know, lots of young people listen to it. And so they'll have some report that'll go, oh, June was an average hottest temperature record ever. And like, I remember one month when they said it and it was like, I was like, what the hell are you talking about? That was so not above average. But it's just like the people who report these stats actually lie. Like, I'm not kidding, they lie. It sounds so crazy and hard to believe, but I'm telling you, man, they actually lie. And they say like, oh yeah, January was above average temperatures basically, and it wasn't. You know what I mean? Like, they come up with clever ways of lying. Like, they'll cherry pick information. Like, there'll be one day where it's above average here in this location, and another location over there, they'll tell you it's above average. And yeah, that was true, but like, there's always going to be this above average somewhere. And then they'll put them all together and make it, come up with a piece and release it and make it look like
wow, 2014, hottest temperatures ever for January. You know what I mean? And it's just not true at all. And the best thing that has ever happened with this whole global warming thing in the past 2 years have been how cold the US winters have been. Because it's been over the news. Finally, the news has started to see. This is where the anti-global warming people are really starting to build up, because it's, the evidence is so obvious. There's these winters in America where the Niagara Falls is like freezing over, and they're showing it on the news, and they're showing some place in Iowa, some football stadium, and they show everyone going, oh, the freeziest winter ever, and then like Americans like, oh yeah, I went to the game today, I just got to rug up and watch the football, it's freaking freezing, and you see this information, and then you go on Facebook and you share this picture that shows how the amount of ice, the polar ice caps have increased massively, and you you start getting the word out there, the truth, that it's just like, it's not getting hotter, you know what I mean? It's just, it's not happening. It's just, we're in the future now. Where is the heating? And if you notice, what's Al Gore doing right now? You know what I mean? What is Al Gore? He's gone. He's off the picture. I haven't heard anything from Al Gore within the past like 4 years. He's disappeared. Because as soon as it started, the cold weather started coming out in 2010, because that was above average in the 2000s, right? And in 2010, it started to seem to be go below average, which is pretty normal. You have some above, some below. It's just always how it is. The world just goes up and down, changes like that. And that's another thing about the world's temperatures as well, because they say climate change, and the climate's always changing. That's why it's bullshit, because they say, look, the climate's changing here, and it's just like, oh, yeah, that's what's happened in the Earth for the past billion years. The temperature on Earth has always been changing, you know what I mean? Anyway, so it's just like, what a little shifty way of trying to make people believe your little con job by using the word climate change. And it's just like, I want you to... If I have a debate with anyone, I want you to use global warming. Stop using that word climate change. Anyway, so we're going on to something. All right, this is another thing that happens as well. I forget where I was going about the global warming thing. I haven't noticed any warming in Melbourne, and I kind of lost where I was up to. And so you go on. It's kind of annoying. I lost what point I was trying to make. So I saw some guys who seemed good in that. Like, one of them is called Lord Monckton, or Lord Henry Monckton, and he seems like a pretty nice, funny sort of English guy. And he just like says it how it is, and just says the truth how it's just literally they're just lying. It's just the global warming thing is just a lie, you know, like it's just not true. It's just so hard to believe that such a big con job could be executed on the whole of the world, but it is. And it's just like, it's dying away. I was saying how Al Gore's just disappeared. Yeah, so we haven't heard anything from Al Gore, because when the temperature started coming, some cold temperatures started coming out in 2011 and stuff, it was just like, he was just like, shit, I was saying how it's getting hotter and hotter, and now he just has to. He's not going to come out on the media and do press conferences or do anything in public, because someone will challenge him and say, "You said blah 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 this. What's the deal with that?" And he'll be like, So he's gone into hiding now. It's the same as like Hitler after he started the whole war in Germany and screwed up Germany in 1944, when it just all these problems were coming out from the war and everyone was, their lives were worse from it, and Hitler just ruined everything in 1944 and early 1945 before he died. You know, he wasn't out in public as much. He started going into hiding and everything. It was just like, he wasn't, you know, saying the big speeches like, yeah, go to war and everything, because he was just kind of like, oh shit, you know, what if I do that rally today, then what if someone yells out, you know, you're a con man, or you've ruined our country, or this war's wrong, you know what I mean? So they start going into hiding after what they've done, you know, because they're not confident enough. But Al Gore, you know, back when there was some above average temperatures, he was grandstanding everywhere and saying, man, bear, pig, I'm Al Gore. I think he talks like that. Anyway, there's so much you can talk about on global warming. But yeah, so there's lots of people who, like, I've seen some arguments, on Facebook, where just, you know, just they just can't
some of these like sort of some of these global warmists are just so fundamentalist in their beliefs that they just don't change their opinion, and they're just stubborn. And it's just like, you give them the evidence and they're just like, or you say, check this out. And it's just like, they're not open to a discussion. That's why you can't handle the truth, because they can't. You can, the only way you can do it is by speaking peacefully to them, not getting in an argument with them or anything, and just saying, hey, look, this is the information I've seen. You make of it of what you want. You know, like, you look at this, like, this is interesting. Oh, you know, oh, what's this below average temperatures? And oh, what's this with more ice? And you let them think in their head. You don't tell them it's a chondro. You let them think, shit, is this a chondro? You know what I mean? That's the only way. That's what Jack Nicholson is talking about. And I guess this is the whole point of the podcast, you know, the whole you can't handle the truth. And it's just, didn't even mean to have a topic for this one, but it's just, that's what I guess it's going to be, like, discussing how people just can't change their mind about things, and they're just super stubborn, and they're just, you know, this is how things are. And whereas some people can be scientific in that, and some of these people who are like Richard Dawkins and that, who even, like, Richard Dawkins preaches scientific, oh, I'm scientific, he's not. I'm telling you, it seems like he's scientific, but I'm telling you, he's not. He's as stubborn about... He's so stubborn, you know what I mean? He's, like, stuck on his opinion. God does not exist, you know what I mean? Religion is bad. He's just, boom. And then, like, and he's brandished. He said that every spiritual thing is just not true. Like, anything like psychic things or people seeing ghosts or any, like, things where people predict the future and just weird stuff that's like, whoa, what's going on here? You know, look at this information. He's just like, nah, it's kooky. Ghosts don't exist. There's no afterlife. Boom, you know, I just believe in the physical messed universe, you know what I mean? Like, sorry, that's a word you might not understand, but anyway. So I believe in the physical universe. That's what messed universe is anyway. So I believe in the physical universe, things you can touch, you know what I mean? And so he says, if someone tells me that they had a dream about something that will happen in a week's time, and then randomly that exact thing happened at that exact location, I know it sounds bizarre, but that's just a coincidence. You know what I mean? And it's just like, yeah, hello, look at the probability of that happening. You know, that's totally wrong. Like, you show him a psychic. Literally, I'm not kidding. You show these people, you get them to sit down and you get them to, you show them a really powerful spiritual psychic person that can bend a spoon with their mind, and they go, it's magic. And you go, no, look at this. Let's full on do it. Let's do the experiment. Look, this spoon isn't pre-bended. He's not doing any tricks. Look at this. He can actually move it with his mind. And do you know what the guy says? Someone like Richard Dawkins says, nah, there must be some way to this trick that I don't know. And it's just like, hold on, Richard. Actually think about it, Richard Dawkins. There's more going on than what you think. You know what I mean? You're actually not being scientific right now. And he's got this documentary that's called The Enemy of Reason. And he goes in and he talks to, like, people like Deepak Chopra or something, and other things. And I watched one of his experiments that he set up, which was basically, he set up this experiment. It was basically, he's already made up his mind. This is what I'm saying, is one of these stubborn people that can't change his mind. He does an experiment with a psychic person, and he tests the psychic person out, but he's already made up his mind that psychicness is bullshit. Like, he's just like the fundamentalist Christians. It's funny how he has the arguments with them all the time, because he's one of them. He fits in with them so well. Anyway, so he, what is Deepak Chopra? Oh, so he sets up this little test, and of course the test is so dodgy. Like, he doesn't give the psychic a chance at all. Like, he sets up this way to experiment this ability that the psychic supposedly has, and just makes it really hard on the psychic and doesn't give them any chance at all, and ignores, you know, all these other good experiments that can prove how the person really has this amazing supernatural ability, and would do this little dodgy experiment and would choose the worst take of it where things went wrong, and then would show it on the documentary and ignore all the other good footage, and then be like, oh, look at this psychic. Well, guess silly, yeah, this psychic's a dodgy, blah, 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 and then skip it. And then just to say that every psychic is just a con man and just lying. And so it's like, no, how about you actually be experimental? Yeah, there are some bullshit psychics, but there are seriously some ones that are true, and you're just completely not looking at them. You're not investigating them. You're not looking at the evidence. You're being like a fundamentalist Christian. And like, you would do an interview with Deepak Chopra and some Indian guru guy, real intelligent guy, and he would be like, the Indian guy is obviously spiritual and that, and he would just he would do like an hour long interview, and he would take like a 5 minute segment of it and put it in this documentary called Enemies of Reason, when he's the only person who's the enemy of reason. Anyway, so he'd put in his documentary Enemy of Reason, and he would just take one bad section of his 1 hour long interview with Deepak Chopra, where maybe Deepak Chopra wasn't perfect in his explanations, or some sort of hole could be picked, and then he picks into the hole. And this is how intelligent Deepak Chopra is. The fact that even the 5 minute bit that he took from Deepak and used in the video, even that didn't look that dodgy. You know what I mean? Like, even that kind of looked all right. But, you know, the way how he sets it up and the way how he asks his questions and uses dodgy music and shows all this dodgy spiritual stuff before it makes the 5 minutes that you have in Deepak Chopra seem real dodgy. It's just all propaganda, you know? And so, he nitpicks on Deepak Chopra for just the 5 minutes, and you hear Deepak Chopra talk about it, and it's just like, yeah, he just ignored all these other good points that he made in the hour-long interview and just chose one little bad bit of it and just put in his documentary, and it's just like, he's the only person who's an enemy of reason, you know? And it's just, he's just one of these people, again, who just cannot change their mind, and he's just obsessed with some sort of physical universe science, and he couldn't think of, you know, gosh, talk about someone who has no idea what's going on in the world. Like, he's got a long way to go. He just needs to be stopping so stubborn. And right now he'd be listening, yeah, if he listens to this or whatever, you know, he'd be like, oh, let's go, you know. You know, he's the sort of person where if you said, hey, check out this religion, he'll just pick it up and put it in the bin. It's just like, hey, Richard Dawkins, mate, like, check this out. You know what I mean? Like, maybe there's some good information into it. Start being scientific, like, actually scientifically investigate instead of being so stubborn. Anyway, personally, I think he just has some sort of personal issue. Like, I don't know, maybe it happened to him as a kid when he went to Sunday school, or the Catholic teacher raped him, or something like that, and he has some real problem with religion. He just goes around arguing with people and just trying to say that they're wrong, and it's so silly because he's so stubborn in his belief. Anyway, so an hour's up, so that concludes this kink podcast. So it was just talking about, in conclusion, I guess, how people are... We share the world with people who are dead, dirt, and stubborn on certain things, and they can't change their mind. And so the trick of it is that because they can't handle the truth, you have to give them information in little bits and pieces, and not be argumentative and that sort of stuff, because they just get upset, and then once they get upset, they even more can't handle the truth. That's the trick of it. You see, these people can't handle the truth. And if you get them upset, or if you come at them in a negative, sort of aggressive way, like, or a forceful way, they get more upset and they even more can't handle the truth. So you've got to be as peaceful and as kind as possible and put the idea out there, like, oh, look at this. Maybe the temperatures, look at these temperatures. They're a bit below average. Huh? You know, like, not in a fake way. Like, I wouldn't do that. That's so obvious. Like, especially coming from someone like me. Like, that, if I was talking to someone like that, they probably know I'm against global warming, right? So they'll probably be like, that's so obvious. But, like, that'll kind of be funny, actually. I want to do that. But you just go, like, oh, look at this. This says that there's more ice in Antarctica than ever. What's going on there? Or you say, oh, look at that. You would have thought, like, you're at a beach, right? And you go, oh, look at that. Gosh, you would have thought with all this global warming that we're having and that the sea levels would be increased by now. But I'm pretty sure that's just the same sea level that was around in the 90s. Which is the case. Has anyone noticed any sea level rising at all in their immediate environment? Oh, there's one thing I touched on as well, that was the vaccine thing, just for a few seconds ages ago, because I was saying it's similar to the vaccines. It's like you watch the news and the scientists go, oh, no, vaccines are safe and they're good and blah, blah, blah. And then you talk to the parents and you look around your immediate environment and you hear all these people say, oh, no, vaccines have caused me allergies, or vaccines caused autism in this kid, or a vaccine killed my kid. You know what I mean? You actually go and investigate it. So it's like these scientists and the people on the TV and that say all this complicated stuff and go, no, no, vaccines are good and they're saving the world and blah, blah, blah. But then you actually look around you and actually speak to the people around you and you go, there's no evidence saying that. You know what I mean? And it's the same with global warming. It's on the news that goes, oh, it's hotter than usual. And, oh, we got to do this and that. And the scientists say, oh, this and that's happening. And they use all this complicated, fancy technical stuff. And then you look around you and you go, I'm still wearing the same jacket in wintertime that I've always worn. You know? And it's just, it's really interesting. You know, you just got to look around you. And I basically, the truth is you can't trust anything you anything that people say, because there's these dodgy people who are there's people actually dodgy and evil and that, and they're the ones who perpetrated the start. And then there's these people who are stubborn, like I'm talking about. Like, I'm not saying that Richard Dawkins is actually evil, or that someone who believes that global warming is happening is actually evil. I'm just saying that they're, or that Christian guy that's obsessed with the Bible is evil or anything. I'm just saying they can't change their mind. That's the thing, you know what I mean? So it's just like, you can't go off their information. You have to work, you have to look at it yourself. You have to ask around yourself, you know. You have to say, oh, do these hay fever tablets work on you? You know, or did that vaccine work on you? And, oh, is there more snow in Mount Buller this year? You know what I mean? Or, oh, did you notice that it was hotter than usual? Or did you notice it was colder than usual? You have to keep your eyes open, because if you don't, then you get sucked in. And you end up paying, you know, heaps of tax to stop global warming when the tax won't even stop it from occurring. And it's not even occurring in the first place. And even if it did occur, it's questionable if that's a bad thing or not. It's just unbelievable. So, ecto facto, the whole point of this podcast was explaining how people can't handle the truth. And you got to ease people into it. You never be argumentative, because it's just not effective. And also, basically, because of these people who are like that, you've got to be smart. That's it. You've got to be switched on, and you just can't play a video game all day and then walk out on the street and take your advice from the average Joe, which in an ideal world would be cool. You could just go to Safeway and ask the Safeway checkout chick, you know, a question about vaccines or just anything, and they'll be able to tell you a good answer in an ideal world. But we don't live in a world like that. We have so many people that are like this, that are problematic, and also lots of people who just don't know anything. So basically, you can't just play video games all the time. And you can play maybe a lot of the time, but as long as you go out and you keep yourself as smart as possible and switched on to what's going on as much as possible. If you're not really smart, switched on and very observant, you've got to be observant and asking questions. If you're not like that, then you're not going to have a good time. Like off South Park. You're not going to have a good time. Something like that. Anyway, so, well, that's well over an hour, and I did it. Well, I told you I could fill up an hour pretty easily, and I just touched the surface of some of the things that I want to talk about, and I'll do one every week. I think it's probably going to be, I guess at the moment, a lot of political. I mean, there's so much to talk about political and that. I could just go into the next podcast. I could just go into another thing. But I think I'm going to record the podcast. Stay Saturday night, but I think I'm going to record the podcast on a Sunday night, because it's a nice quiet night and suits doing an hour-long podcast. And the idea of this podcast, I think, is to just be something interesting to listen to. I don't think it's going to be super good listening, good podcasting or anything, or exciting or anything. Just something that's mildly interesting to listen to. And I think it's for while you're working, I reckon. I think it's something to listen to while you're just, if you're doing some sort of physical job where you just want to have your headphones in and just listen to something and give you some new viewpoints and information on things. So I spoke a bit about the global warming stuff today, and I probably in future might come up a little bit, but it probably got handled quite a bit in this one. And so that's it. And I'll finish off the podcast with something colourful, which I was thinking of, which probably shouldn't be in this because this is just supposed to be casual, easy listening. And it was something like this, like, well, that's it for me. The Space Cowboy signing out. Protecting freedom for you and me. Ni hao!